Welcome to Out of Bounds. I'm Tish Perlman. My guest is Edward Intamin. Intamin is a professional lighting designer for theater. He's worked in theaters from New York City to Raleigh, North Carolina, to Rochester and Ithaca, New York, all the way to a theater festival in Poland. He's also resident lighting designer and senior lecturer in the Department of Theater, Film, and Dance at Cornell University. Welcome to the show, Ed.
Thank you.
Now, you have said that you are intensely interested in the interplay of space and light. Now, was this an interest that you had as a child?
I can't say as I really had it as a child. One of the things about lighting is it's something that people don't think about a lot, especially children. I think adults the same. I think that probably as a child it came from, I grew up in Colorado, and it more grew from an awareness of nature and being out in nature and the natural world. And so I think I gained an awareness and appreciation for light in all of its forms from that.
Oh, I'll bet. That's a beautiful state.
Yes.
Did you start off as a photographer at all?
No, I didn't. And I've always wanted to actually take up photography more seriously. I do some photography. I photograph my own work. And again, anytime I'm a national parks buff. So anytime I go to the national parks or go, out in nature, I do a lot of photography there. But no real professional experience or no real training as a photographer.
Uh-huh. So how did you hone this love for light and space into a theater career?
Well, I started doing theater back in high school, actually. My older brother had done it, and it seemed like a fun thing to do, and I got paid for it starting in high school, and so I've gotten paid for it ever since. So it's great to be able to do something you love and get paid for it. And I love the theater for many reasons. I love the liveness of it, the immediacy of it. I love the depth of it. I love the arts in general. Favorite quote that I don't remember who it is, but I just have, it's become my new favorite quote is, that the arts are the lie that reveal the truth. And I really kind of believe in that. It also, doing it gives me an opportunity to really maybe approach in some ways being a Renaissance person or a Renaissance man, that I get to, every play is about something different, and you get to then experience that something different. And then just a love of light and how it interplays and just how it affects us and impacts us. It's such a central medium. I mean, it is the metaphor that all religion, all everything is based on,
Yeah.
The beginning of the Christian and most other religions, central to that. It is life, it is vision, so it's exciting.
Well, so how did you hone in on being a lighting designer, though? You must have started in theater doing other things.
Not really.
Really?
I always did lighting and scenery also. I was always sort of, when I started doing it in high school, I was one of those backstage guys that just did it, and pretty quickly started really enjoying working on the lighting. And again, it's in some ways that marriage of art and science, that it has a healthy aspect of technology and of, the scientific aspect and sort of the engineering. But it's, as a former student said once a long time ago, it's like voodoo. You mumble numbers and all of a sudden you can make beautiful things happen. So
And change moods and make people cry and laugh. It is quite amazing.
Yes.
Yeah,
I'm
very interested in photography, so I notice lighting in theater,
okay,
too, and
great.
It is a fascinating art. Now, you've said that you have a great interest in designing for dance performance, too. Well, what would be the difference? How would you approach those two things differently?
There are several differences. One of the primary differences is, in general, not always, but in general, theater is a narrative form, and so it's about creating a world and then imbuing that world with character. Often there's at least some element of naturalism or some element of trying to create a reality, a place, time of day, whatever, that sort of thing. Whereas more often dance is much more abstract, it's much more purely visual, much more formal. And the other difference I would say is that the mode of communication, theater, most of the communication is through the eyes, through the face, if you can't see the people speaking, we all do more lip reading than we think we do. So it's really about the face and facial expression and gesture, whereas dance is really about the body and the form of the body and kind of revealing that form in space.
And I think of dance also as an energy.
Absolutely.
That you might
yeah.
not see. And now, are you somebody who thinks of lighting as a character in a play?
I don't know if I think of it as a character itself, but I think of certainly it imbues the environment with character. So I guess sort of. It's huh. I don't really think of it as a distinct character, as a way of revealing the character of the environment and sometimes of the people, but more really. So it gives character, but is not a character, I guess, is the way I'd
say. I was just wondering if somebody is so focused on light would think of it actually as a character
right.
in the play, or make it so, you
right.
know?
No, I don't. Generally not. And actually, I think that's sometimes a danger, is to make it too much mm-hmm. of a character. One of the intriguing things about light as a medium and lighting design to me is it's an incredibly powerful medium. Like I said, it is vision. Without, you know, the old joke was, if the lights don't go on, it doesn't matter how good you are. Or it's just radio, which I probably shouldn't say on this program. But it's, you know, it is vision. It dictates everything we see and gives everything we see character and dictates how we see it. Mm-hmm. So there's this incredible sense of power to it. But at the same time, without something to react to, it doesn't really exist. We never really or seldom watch light itself. Mm-hmm. Fireworks is maybe the only mm-hmm. real exception. We watch light playing off other things, off whether it's space, sculpture, characters, people, bodies, whatever it is. We watch that interplay. So it's always plays sort of a reactive role more than a proactive mm-hmm. role. So that's why long answer to a short question.
Yeah, no, that makes sense to me.
Why I don't mm-hmm. think of it as a separate character, but as something that reacts and enlivens, energizes, as you said, and brings character to life, brings other things to life.
Yeah. It's a fascinating art. Now, have you ever considered, do you have a whimsical side to yourself with doing tricks on an audience, like turning a Grapes of Wrath kind of set into like a circus-like lighting or anything to just sort of blow people's minds?
I mean, there are certainly tricks we play on the audience and things we play with and do. I think that I'm pretty, I wouldn't say serious, but I'm pretty committed to, you know, the integrity and the character of whatever piece I'm working on. There are certainly more whimsical lighting that I enjoy doing. I love some of the new technologies and how they've really given us an ability to do different things with lighting. You know, I was just in a conference in Las Vegas and saw the one of the many Cirque du Soleil shows. I've seen several, but the way they use lighting is really phenomenal. It imbues this character, and it's really fun, and it really there does become almost a character in itself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've noticed that in some of the stills I've seen from
you.
Now, in addition to lighting, you also have had early experience designing scenery and costumes. How has that helped you as a lighting designer?
I think that it's helped me, because I consider myself an overall visual person primarily, and it helps to know, again, what you're reacting to and what you're working on as a lighting designer. Especially with scenery, I still sometimes do design scenery, and it really, again, lighting brings a space to life and can really define a space. Scenery does the same thing, except through sort of a different medium. So mm-hmm. it's and the interplay of space and light are so intertwined and so crucial to each other that it's really, I have a hard time thinking of one without the other.
Yeah, I would think the scenery and the costumes would have to go hand in hand with the lighting. I mean, as somebody who's done it all, you probably have had to work with costume designers and you say, that's not going to work with this kind of lighting that I have in mind. Or
right. Generally, it's the other way around. the lighting designer often comes in late in the process just because of the technology and whatever. Oh. And also the lighting designer in the field has some of the most adaptability, because you can change the lights, change the color of the lighting fairly simply and fairly inexpensively, and certainly what you're doing, setting levels and aiming the lights and all of that, is fairly easily manipulated and done. Whereas if they've gotten the you know, $3,000 worth of fabric, made the piece, made the costume and whatever, it's a little harder to go back to the drawing board with that or to change that.
Uh-huh.
So in general, the lighting designer will be the one to react to the other design media, although certainly in the process, when the process works at its best, there is a dialogue between all the design elements. I recall a show I did a long time ago that all the costumes were black. And unfortunately, black is not always black. So there were all these different blacks. And the color of the lighting, because it was also a fairly saturated color in the lighting, would bring out some of the blacks turned slightly brown, some of them turned slightly gray, some of them would turn a little bit purple. And one of the big issues was how we actually never solved it as well as we could have, of how we made all those blacks black and still keep the character of the lighting.
Interesting dilemmas that you have to work with. now, talk to us about how lighting design for theater can cross into lighting design for architecture. You mentioned that a little bit in your biography.
Yeah, one of the things I'm actually very interested in right now, it's maybe the central thing that I've been kind of working on, is how we develop a vocabulary and an aesthetic and a critical theory about light and lighting design. Again, it's so central to any visual design element, and certainly in the 20th century and really in the 21st century, it has become such a facile medium. The technologies have allowed us to really now work with light and create with light and design with lighting. And that's true in all the fields that are now architecture, interior design, landscape architecture, that lighting is really becoming a crucial design element in those fields in a way it wasn't before. In architecture, it was always more passive lighting, how the building was, you know, put in reference to where the sun would be, where there are windows, how the windows or openings in the walls would deal with that. And now lighting is much more active, especially with LED technologies where we can light and we can change color and we can imbue.
Tell us what LED technologies are. I've been hearing about them.
LED stands for light emitting diode. And it's those little points of light that you get on your little flashlights and stuff. And if you've been in any big city recently, all of those video screens and all those ticker tape, they're all LED lights. And so it has allowed us, they're very small source, they're getting more and more bright, and they have a vast array of color, which is why they can do all those big screens on election night. I was, you know, watching, and they had the shots of Times Square, every one of those video screens, every one of those things showing, little ticker tape things showing all the things, those were all LED lights.
Are they energy efficient?
They are also very energy efficient. There are still some problems with them, and they are an emerging technology. But they are the technology of the future and are more and more taking over in a lot of different industries. You'll see, again, LED Christmas lights. Everyone's changing over from those little twinkle lights to LED lights. They are more energy efficient and often brighter. And they're cooler, so they're safer.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever think about getting into architecture, or have you dabbled into it?
I've done some work in architecture. Back to the previous question, one of the things about architecture is it's very formal in terms of its thinking about design and lighting. And one of the things that I love about the theater is it really is about impacting an audience, emotionally impacting an audience, intellectually, just really helping people feel or creating, you know, whether it's laughter or tears or whatever, sort of getting to that central thing that makes us human. I also think that that's why my field as a lighting designer in the theater has a lot to offer architecture, because we have a way that's less maybe a programmatic or less
rigid,
less just purely sort of mechanical of ways of thinking about light and lighting. We really do think of it in terms of, you know, again, character and aesthetics of light that is only emerging, and it's where the power of lighting is, and architecture is starting to be able to adopt that, but they don't tend to think in that framework. And I think that a lot of architectural lighting designers have come from a theatrical background, actually.
Mm-hmm. If you're just joining us, my guest is Ed Intamin. He's a professional lighting designer for theater. Now, I wanted to ask you this. Do you wander through your everyday life seeing light and shadow and thinking, I've got to figure out a way to capture this for the theater?
Somewhat.
Do you really?
Not maybe quite that way. I know I often have students ask me, you know, do you have your house all designed with special lights and stuff? And I'm like, not really.
This is the Fantastics room.
It's like, not really. It's just like basketball players generally don't have their whole, you know,
the hoop in their
room. Yeah, they don't have a hoop in every room in their house or whatever. This is what I do, not totally who I am. It's a lot of who I am. But I have been known to walk around outside or inside with my hand in front of my face, looking at the quality of light on my hand, and not so much maybe thinking about how to recreate that as just really trying to carefully observe and see what the light is doing. And often I hope and think with just a sense of wonder at how beautiful light is and just being more sensitive to that. Mm-hmm. You know, again, I think it's a medium that everyone is so impacted by, but at the same time, so few of us are aware at all of how we're being impacted by it. You know, it's so hard to, especially in Ithaca in the winter, you know, to walk outside on that one sunny day between that you get before April.
Yesterday.
Yesterday, was that day? Exactly. You know, and it's hard to feel bad. You know, there's scientific evidence that is emerging, is backing this up, all the seasonal affective disorder research and stuff. But mm-hmm. light really does affect us so powerfully. And just being more aware of that, I think I generally try and do.
Uh-huh. Now, you design for both professional and academic settings. Is there a difference in a way that you approach either or?
Not really. I mean, I'm always really concerned with, you know, whatever the script or whatever the piece that I'm designing for is and how to make that come to life in the best possible way. There are probably some operative differences in terms of, you know, the staffing and the level of expertise that they may have. You know, in when I'm working in an academic setting with students, often there'll be more mentoring.
Mm-hmm.
I find it sometimes actually hard when I'm in the middle of working and, you know, sort of creating to keep in mind and to sort of mentor at the same time. So it sometimes happens around the actual work before or after. I'll say, you know, well, this is what I was trying to do, or this is how I did it, or this is how it worked. But when I'm actually in the middle of creating or in the middle of designing, not a substantial difference, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
It's all design.
Now, are you somebody who goes to see plays outside of where you're working? And it seems to me that, would you take lighting designs that you've seen? And is it hard to be creative if you've seen something and to make it your own kind of lighting scheme?
Probably. I probably, as a lighting designer, escape that more than other areas because lighting is so abstract and so ephemeral that I don't think I've ever actually, you know, there are certainly ideas I've gotten from other plays or shows that I say, oh, well, that would be a really interesting technique or an interesting, it would be more like a riff on a guitar rather than a whole piece of music or whatever that, you know, there's, oh, that would be an interesting way of doing it. How could I incorporate that into something else?
Mm-hmm.
I also probably, I shouldn't admit this, but I don't see as much outside theater as I should. Probably it's because usually I'm too busy in there doing it that I don't have a lot of time outside to see other work. I try to as much as possible, but I probably take more of my inspiration, again, from the natural world than from other theatrical pieces.
Well, that's probably wise and much more creative anyway. Now, there was something particularly fascinating I found in your biography. You said that your current concentration is in developing a vocabulary for aesthetics of light that move beyond technology into the realm of art. Talk to us about that.
Wow. No, I found it so whatever. But, yeah, it's sort of what I was talking about with the architecture, too, that if you look at the literature and just look at even, you know, how lighting is taught around the country and everything, it's still very much about the technology and about the how-to. You know, you look at the industry as a whole, the trade shows, everything. It's about what are the technologies, how do we use the technologies, how do we put it together.
Mm.
And very little is actually ever articulated or talked about it. What are we trying to do with all these technologies? To what end are we using them? You know, where do we take them? Mm-hmm. How do we create? What are we creating with them? And that's what I, again, as I had said before, I'm really interested in how we use light, how lighting creates meaning, how it impacts us, and, you know, understanding how it impacts us and articulating that so that we can all create more with us. And it's difficult, and there really isn't a lot out there. I think the best designers do that, but it's all more intuitive now. And you think about music or the fine arts, and you know, you walk into the library or the bookstore and look at the amount of information that's written about how to do it and the technologies. I mean, yeah.
So they don't talk about the art of it, just the technical aspects.
You know, there's lots of how to play the guitar or how guitars are made books, but how many are that between compared to the music theory books, or what is that musical composition doing and how does it affect us? Partially because it's a fairly new field, I think that's just emerging, but that's my real interest, is beginning that dialogue and really trying to push the dialogue in the world of thinking into how it's used aesthetically and how we understand and think about light as a medium rather than how we think about LEDs or moving lights.
Or I understand what you mean, Have you ever thought about doing film?
I have. I haven't really done film. Part of it is, I think if I were to work in film, I probably wouldn't be a lighting designer. I'd probably want to be a cinematographer or a director of photography, because that's, in the live theater, lighting design really serves the function that the cinematography serves in film. The lighting design in film is not so much the design as it is part of the cinematography or the camera work, because the camera is playing the eye, and then what the camera can see and whether you filter, for instance, color of light, whether that's filtered at the source of the light or whether that's filtered at the camera, there's a whole nother sense of it, or how we get a sense of focus, in any live venue, even architecture, but certainly in theater or dance or whatever. Lighting is what's going to control where we look and what we see, whereas in film, it's the camera and how the camera is used, and both the focal length of the camera and, the framing of the shot and all of that. So I think that lighting for cinema is not as interesting to me, because it's sort of a subcategory, and it doesn't have sort of the artistic power that it has in the live theater. It certainly can, but it's only, again, filtered through the cinematography.
Yeah, I understand what you mean. Now, let's talk about teaching. You say that you work as a mentor for your students. Talk to us about how important that is to you.
I love teaching. I always have. I remember the first summer stock I ever worked with. I then went on to teach, and I met someone that I had worked with, and he said, "Oh, I always knew you were going to be teaching." I'm not sure how to actually talk about it other than I just love doing it. I love working with students. As you may be able to tell, I love talking about and thinking about and expressing and sharing what I know. I love watching students grow and change. And
I think that sharing is a big thing for teaching.
Yeah.
Because a lot of teachers, and I think about physicians I've met who love to have the knowledge and tell you what to do with it, right?
Right.
And not really educate you about your health, for instance. So being able to share your knowledge is a big part of teaching.
Yeah, I also think that, it's teaching and parenting are the only two jobs in the world where you systematically try and work yourself out of a job. the whole point of it is to get the person so that they don't need you anymore, so that they grow and whatever. And I love something about that. It's fascinating to me, and it's incredibly rewarding when you see people grow and discover and be able to make connections on their own or be able to do things on their own. And, frankly, I probably learn as much from my students as they learn from me. I hope I do.
I would assume so. Now, you started an internet study room, right? And it's called Cyber Tower?
Yes. Well, Cyber Tower is actually Cornell has this site that they have for continuing education. Partially it's part of the continuing education, where you can have these specific study rooms, and a lot of people have done them in different fields. They also have discussion groups and that sort of thing. But I did a study room, and it began to address, again, sort of the returning theme I keep coming to here, this idea. It's called The Poetry of Light, and it actually will be debuting on this site on, I think it's supposed to go up December 8th is what I hear, but we'll find out, and then it will always be part of the site. But and it really talks about, again, how we perceive light, how we then understand light, and then goes on to begin to talk about a little bit then how a designer can manipulate light to change those perceptions. But again, that sort of idea of an aesthetics of light overall.
I want to go a little bit deeper into the how have 21st century technologies actually changed your profession? Has it been profound? I mean, you must have started really, really before any of this stuff was happening.
Back before candles. Back before electricity. No, not quite. But,
well, I started in broadcasting when we still spliced tape.
Absolutely,
so that's what I'm referring to.
Certainly, Yes, the technology is constantly changing. I mean, in my career, I've seen us go from, again, manual light boards where you pushed sliders up and down, or actually when I was in high school and whatever, where you had big levers that, you know, which is what Broadway was forever,
yeah.
And have six electricians that would pull all these levers that were changing the lights, to the computer boards. So there's now this wonderful facility of being able to, you know, move and change any number of lights very quickly and fastly. In the 21st century, I'd say the two big emerging technologies, and there still really are emerging, especially for the theater, are, you know, automated lights, moving lights, all those things you see on, you know, the game shows or in rock concerts, the ones that move up and down and can change color and all of that sort of thing. And then the LED technologies. They're wonderful. They give us an incredible amount of power and a credible amount of flexibility in what we can do. Again, right now, my interest is always less in how, in just the technologies for the technology's sake, as into how we really use them and integrate them. Right now, there's sort of a lot of flashy stuff out there, which is great and it's fun, but it doesn't have a lot of depth or resonance in how we then make those technologies real, and or not real, but how we make those, give those technologies the power and how we use them to really impact people the way.
Mm-hmm. Well, what are some of the flashy things that you think they're sort of frivolous? Huh?
I don't know as I would say frivolous, but I guess I would say that they're, to me, they don't have a lot of depth. It's like maybe a real flashy graphic poster as opposed to a great work of art, of, you know, an oil painting that you can go back to, and that there's depth and resonance, and that we constantly can inform us and move us. Whereas, you know, or like I said, a fireworks show. It's mm-hmm. great and it's really fun and you ooh and ah, but you don't go home changed by it in any way.
I understand what you mean.
In real lighting and in real theater, that, you know, or not real lighting, I should say, but in something, we can get to a point where we can do more of that. We can really affect people and change them in a deeper way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, we only have about a minute left. What are you working on now? Are we going to be able to see any of your lighting and any productions coming up in the near future?
I'm working on too much right now. I had lit Tony and the Soprano, which is at the Kitchen Theater, and then I will also be lighting a play on words by Brian Dykstra, which is coming up to the Kitchen in February. At Cornell, I'm lighting The Body Project.
Ah, Joan Brumberg.
Yep, based on her book. And then I'm also lighting Bernstein's Mass, which is our big showpiece, 20th anniversary season showpiece at the end of the year. And then I'm also doing scenery and lighting for our spring dance concert, which is called Rue and Glory, and is sort of about the dynamics of street life, movement and street life in Paris, Venice, and in Ithaca. So it's sort of an interesting take in how that all comes out in modern dance. We're still figuring out.
You are doing so much stuff. You must like to get into the darkness every once in a while, get away from all this lighting.
Every once in a while, I just want to get away from it.
Well, Ed Entman, we have run out of time. I want to thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Our audio producer is Nate Richardson at Rep Studio in Ithaca, New York. We are supported in part by the Arts of the Southern Finger Lakes in Corning, New York. Our theme music was composed by Diego Vega. And visit us online at outofboundsradioshow.com. We'll be back next week. I'm Tish Perlman.